We're going to talk for a few minutes this morning about small beginnings. And I believe as we do this, we're going to leave with a greater understanding of how God speaks to us and how he wants to work in our lives. This Christmas at our home was really marked by our four-month-old son, Noah. Someone told me, you know what, you don't need any gifts. Really, all you just need is to put a bow on his head, put him under the tree. And I thought that was a good idea, so Joni took the picture of him underneath the tree. Truthfully, I haven't always enjoyed the infant phase of having kids. It seems like there's not much you can do with them. You hold them, you feed them, you change them. And I was always looking forward to them being bigger. You know, that we can play in the yard, we can maybe go swimming, you can get on my schedule, because kids rock your world. All of a sudden, you don't have a day off anymore. Vacations that used to be relaxing aren't so relaxing. And so these small beginnings, I was looking forward to them moving on. But now I know, wow, this goes fast. You better enjoy that little one, because they're going to be kicking and loud before you know it. I was thinking of small beginnings here. I was thinking, about 20-some years ago, I went on a website for the very first time, and on this website, you could buy books. There were a few clothes on there, some household items, and I thought, this makes no sense. Why would anyone go to one website to buy all this when I could go to the bookstore in person, and then I could drive to another store, get clothes, I could drive to Target and get household items? I really couldn't see it from there. Now I can see it because their distribution center's in my backyard. It's Amazon. Thought, wow, this will never take off. Thinking about small beginnings, the passage that's really swirled around in my heart these last few months is Zechariah 4:10. And so let's take a look at that. I want to first read it from the New Living Translation. The prophet says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." Now the Good News Translation adds another angle of insight for us. It says, they are disappointed because so little progress is being made. But they will see Zerubbabel continuing to build the temple, and they will be glad. Now we're going to talk about the context of this in just a moment, but I just want to ask, can you relate to this phrase, they were disappointed because so little progress was being made? God is describing how his people are feeling towards him, relating towards them. And they're in a moment where they thought so much more would have happened by now. There would have been so much more to show for the work of their hands, but they're disappointed because so little progress has been made. So many times in life, we can be frustrated with God because God's not getting things done. We like to dream big dreams. We like to have big plans, big thinking, big faith. But this is actually the moment of small. They're disappointed because they didn't see the big finish. All they could see is the small beginning. And so they didn't think that God was working. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. In almost everything God does, God begins small. Oftentimes, God moves things from small to big so he can take you and I along the way. Imagine if everything God did in our lives was the big finish, that there were no small changes, just boom, sudden, instant answers to prayer. Suddenly, you're an entrepreneur. Suddenly, you're debt-free. Suddenly, you've lost 50 pounds. Suddenly, you're married. That would be challenging. Imagine if God gave us all of our dreams and he wrote the last page first and we just stepped into it. If God did that, I don't think you and I would be capable of receiving it. Often we want God to do the big thing in our lives, but we don't want him to start the small way. And so in this passage, Zechariah, it contains 8 different visions that God gave to the prophet. Zechariah, he's speaking to the people in Jerusalem. Jerusalem had been destroyed by the Babylonians in 586 BC. And Zechariah, he begins his ministry around 520 BC. The city's walls, they had been rebuilt by Nehemiah, but Solomon's temple had not. It's just a large mound of rubble and weeds. And if you connect the temple of God to the presence of God, there has to be this little voice in your head saying, God is no longer with you. Is God dead? Has God been defeated? And so the larger passage here, starting with verse 6. So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, mighty mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of God bless it, God bless it. Then the word of the Lord came to me. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Do not despise these small beginnings. For the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. The Israelites, they've been given an opportunity under the Persians. It's an imperfect opportunity to rebuild the temple. And have you ever noticed that people who wait until things are perfect to start never start, and they never finish? It's the people who are willing to step out and say, we're going to start small. We're going to have small victories. We're going to take small steps. We're going to have small incremental moments of progress. When God calls you and I to something big, we shouldn't meet that moment with fear, because God always starts small. Someone needs to hear that this morning. As we look back on the year of 21, we need to say, I'm going to celebrate all the small things that God has started in me, because I know God always does big things, but he starts in small ways. And so as a people, they've come together to rebuild the temple. They've been stopped time and time again. The people have gotten distracted. They've gotten busy with the things happening in their own lives. They have limited resources. It's a poor economy, and they are refugees in their own country. There are so many things that are working against their energy, their enthusiasm. And as the people look at this pile of rubble, they probably had the thought, even if we do our best, it's still not going to be as good as what Solomon had built. So often what causes us to miss out is comparison. We're so busy thinking what God has done for someone else. It keeps us from doing what God has told us to do, because it's a small beginning. And it doesn't look as good as the other's finished product. And you can't do that. You have to know what God has called you to do, what God has put in your heart. God wants to do a miracle in your life. God wants to do things through you that are going to be as big as what he did in Solomon's life or the person you're comparing yourself to. And so I'm learning this. I have learned it time and again. I have to keep my eyes focused on what God has told me to do. And so the Israelites, they have returned to Jerusalem, and initially there's all this hope, there's anticipation, what we're building, but now as time has gone on, the progress is slow, the people are discouraged, and Zechariah arrives on the scene, and he has a word from God. He says, verse 9, Zerubbabel, he is the one who laid the foundation of this temple, and he will complete it. All Zerubbabel had was the cornerstone. All he had was the beginning. All he had was the first step of the temple. And he couldn't see how this one brick had something to say about the future. Jesus, he often uses the language of the small. He says in Matthew 17, 20, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. It's almost mirroring the exact language here in Zechariah, verse 7. Nothing, not even a mighty mountain, will stand in Zerubbabel's way. It will become a level plain for him. I don't know about you, but I want to accomplish things in life that maybe people before me haven't. I want to blaze new trails. And so if ever I'm on a trip, I always gravitate towards the places where there are mountains. You know, in the plains, there's the highways and there's the path that everyone takes. But you can know when there's a big mountain in front of you, there are far fewer people that have gone through that terrain. And so you can know if you're going to do something new for God, you're going to pioneer something for God, there's going to be mountains that are going to need to be removed. And so in the verse before, it says, it is not by might, it is not by power, it is by my spirit, says the Lord. And so as a people, they're building the temple. The progress is not as quick as anticipated, and they're becoming disappointed in God. And so I just want to throw this question out for self-reflection. What is taking longer in your life than you thought? Are there areas in your life you thought by now you would be further along? You know, one of the reasons I don't take road trips with my family is a question, I'm sure you've all heard it. Are we there yet? And so now the question is just yes. Yes, if you want us to take our vacation in Waukesha, yes, we're there. But if you want to go to the Dells, we're not there yet. Have you ever noticed things in life take longer than we thought? I mean, how many times in my life, how many times in ministry, I've overestimated what could be done in a year, but then you look back over 10 and we underestimate all that God has done. This past year, I read the book, Atomic Habits. It's by James Clear. This was a book by given to me by Pastor Tonto. And if you want good habits, talk to him. But in it, he talks about how if we begin something new in our lives, say, you know, we're going to start eating healthy, we're going to go on a treadmill, we're going to read our Bible, we're going to serve, all of these things, the longer that we do them, we expect it just to be a straight line up to the right, that I'm going to see progress every single day, and it keeps me encouraged to keep on going. But he says so often, it's not like that. The results actually come far later. And so initially, when we're not seeing it, the fruitfulness, there's disappointment. And so often, because we say, well, you know, I went to church 3 weeks in a row and I'm not walking on water. Apparently this isn't working, and we give up. What is taking longer than you expected? Zechariah says it's not going to be by your might, it's not going to be by your power, but it's going to be by his spirit. If you're a go-getter, I think this is especially important for you. You're going to need to be reminded there are things in your life that you cannot do. There are some things that only God can do. And so as we consider small beginnings, the year that is before us, let me ask, what is a small thing that God is wanting to do right now? What is the small thing in your life that will turn out big, you could never accomplish, you will never see it through your own power, your own intelligence, but only by the Spirit? It could be an addiction that he's wanting to break. It could be a stronghold he's wanting to totally wipe out. It could be weed, it could be drinking, it could be sleeping around, it could be porn, it could be anger. And you've said, it is a new year and I'm gonna finally break free. But you need to realize there are certain things that we allow to sink so deeply into our soul that you do not have the ability to break them with your own power and your might. Further, you do not have the internal resilience to stay away from them, and you're going to need more than power or might. You're going to need the Spirit to do what you cannot do alone. And so what is God's small thing in you? The way God works over and over again is he starts small. Why does the Bible talk about not allowing bitterness to take root instead of talking about mass murder? Because a small thing becomes a big thing. Why does God spend so much time about taking our thoughts captive? Because none of us have had a thought that actually hurt anyone else. But isn't it interesting how a thought can also turn into a conviction, and our convictions then turn into our words, and our words turn into actions, and our actions turn into lifestyles? Why does God tell us we need to take care of our feelings, our thoughts, and even our words? And where Ephesians says we should let no unwholesome word come out of our mouth, because God knows it's in the small things. It's the material, it's the soil from which the big things will come. And so God says, take care of these small things. Don't despise small things, because from that God creates big things. Verse 7, what are you, mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a level ground. Can you see the big from the small? Jesus again says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, go from here to there, and it will move. If you're disappointed in the progress that you've seen in your life, maybe you've told yourself, well, I just need a bit more faith. But that would actually be the opposite of what Jesus just said, because he said, just a tiny amount, just a tiny dab will do. Maybe your problem isn't that you need more faith, you just need more courage. Maybe you don't need more faith, you just need to take the initiative. It's not how much faith you have, it's not the quantity of your faith, it's who your faith is in makes all the difference. It says, what are you, mighty mountain? Zechariah says there are obstacles in front of you that you will not be able to remove. But once you're moving, not in might, not in power, but in the Spirit, you will find victory over the things that held you captive. You will find success in the things that held you back. Mountains will begin to move. God starts small, but make no mistake, it always goes big. And so what is the thing, the big thing, that God is starting in you small? And when we talk about big things doesn't mean that you will become famous and that everyone else will recognize and see you. No, they are big because you cannot deny the reality of them. Big miracles often begin in the inside of us and change us. What are you, mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of, God bless it. God bless it. The Good News translation says of this verse 7, obstacles as great as mountains will disappear before you. You will rebuild the temple, and as you put that last stone into place, people will shout, beautiful, beautiful. When you begin to move, and it's not in your own power, but it's in rhythm with the Spirit, as you do things people said were impossible, you will say, this is beautiful. They will say, this is beautiful. If you want a life that is truly beautiful, stop trying to build a life that you could do just with your own hands and build a life that's only possible by trusting God with your life. If you look around and all you see are the problems, all you see is the decay, it is a sign that you are operating in your might and in your power and very minimally by the Spirit. There have been a couple of times in my life where God has really driven this point home. And one is just, I was driving down a major thoroughfare in Milwaukee, and just God just transformed my vision in that moment. Just, you know, there's opportunity all around here. Another one was sitting in a meeting, and I'm just saying, okay, here's a problem, that's a problem. This is why that won't work, that won't work. And I just felt God press on my heart. I have not given you the Holy Spirit to find all the problems, but to find the solutions. Every year now, I see more and more beauty all around me, and I primarily see it in people. You see, when you serve God, it's beautiful. When you offer up your talents to the King, it's beautiful. When you sacrifice for the sake of the kingdom, it's beautiful. When God makes you a mom and a dad, and you're just rocking it, you're teaching your kids to love Jesus, it is beautiful. When God raises you up at your work and he gives you influence, it's beautiful. And when people see the Spirit moving in your life, they will say, it is beautiful. When God completes the good work that he started in you, it's beautiful. Some of you, you can only see the brokenness in your life. You can't see the beauty of your life. You can't see the wonder of your life because all you see is the darkness. All you see is the inadequacy. All you see is past failure. And let me tell you, if you're not careful and if that's the way you're looking at yourself, then you bring other people into your life, the wrong people that are also seeing that same thing. But you don't have to point to a finished product. You can just say, there's a cornerstone that's been laid. And you're looking for me to be a finished temple, and I am not a finished temple, but I am still a dream in the heart of God, and he has started something big in my life. God is building something in me. Verse 8, then the word of the Lord came to me, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple, and his hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. And this is an interesting circle. It starts off, Zechariah says, it's not going to be by your might. It's not by your power. It's by my spirit. But then he says, I'm going to put all of this work into your hands. But then he says at the end, and this is how you'll know that the Lord has sent me. And so it's the circle of how God chooses to work with human beings, just like you and me. And I think a lot of us, we can misunderstand this because we'll have a theology. Well, if God wants something to get done, he's just going to do it. And that's not true. God's looking for people to be his hands and his feet. He's looking for men and women who will live a life not by their own power, but by his spirit. And so God will use you to move the mountains that you thought were impossible, to live a life that is marked by his presence. But he doesn't do it theoretically. He doesn't do it magically. He does it with you. And I love the fact that Zechariah says, okay, Zerubbabel, I am putting this. This is in your hands. And it's going to be your hands that start it. And it's going to be your hands that finish the temple. When God is working, it's going to be evidenced because you are working. You see, just when God works, it doesn't mean that we don't work. And we're not working to somehow please God or be accepted by God. We're already accepted by God. And Zerubbabel, he's going to build this temple, and he's not saying, well, apparently God's not doing anything and no one else is, so I guess it's going to fall upon me. No, God is doing this, and I'm his hands. God is doing the work, and he's using me. And so what is the thing that God has placed into your hands? And by the way, this is the reason God always starts small, because your hands are not that big. And so if God's going to use you, he has to start small. You see, if God was going to finish the temple in one day, then his hands are the only hands big enough to do that. But if God's going to use us, if it's going to go from cornerstone to brick to brick to brick, God's going to have to start small. And God has placed something in your hand this morning. You have to look and see what God has given you, what he's placed in your hands, what he's entrusted to you, and choose to be faithful. And when you're faithful with what God has put in your hands, it's actually proof that it's not in your hands, that God is doing something far bigger and greater, and he's just using you because he loves to use people. God always starts small. This past week, we had a worship night in Crossroads. We just thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, God's presence was very clearly there. But on another level, I was just enjoying how skilled, how talented the musicians were. It was just an amazing night being offered up to God. In particular, one of the guitar players, you know, doing these really cool riffs. And it took me back to 15 years ago. During the week, he would come here. He was 10 years old. Another guy working full-time job would meet him here and taught him how to play guitar. And at that time, I was better than him at electric guitar, and I don't play guitar. But he did not despise the day of small beginnings to now where we look and say, that is beautiful. How do you get good at something? You start by being bad at something. And so what has God put in your hands? I love seeing families serve together around church. And this past weekend, we did the musical Joy here. And so there was a seventh grader. He was ushering at this door. And I said, man, you're doing such a great job. And I said, well, how's it going? And he says, it's going good. You know, I wish there were a few more people who sat in my section. And there wasn't a lot of people in his section. And part of that was we did the musical 20 times. But I knew at that moment, I said, one day there's going to be a lot more people in your section because you have been faithful. You're serving God when you're seven in seventh grade. God's going to use you. You know, if God doesn't despise the day of small beginnings, then is there anything that he would ever ask us to do that would be beneath us? Is there any serving role too small for us? You know, I also believe this is critically important why we teach our kids to tithe. And we do it at a young age because when we teach them that that $1 belongs to God, if they can get that, then they'll be faithful with $10. And if they can be faithful with $10, then they're faithful with $100. But if we can't be faithful with $1,000, there's no way God could entrust $100,000 to us or $1 million. And so we start small because it's a process God has determined. Can I trust you? Can you live a principled life? Verse 10, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. When we think about the year of 22, let's start now by not focusing on the big things or on the great things, but on the small things. What is the little thing? What's the unnoticed thing? What's the ignored thing? What is a small thing that God would love to do in you right now that would actually change who you are? Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. The verse goes on with this parenthesis, the seven lamps represent the eyes of the Lord that search all around the world. I want you to notice those words, eyes, and to see, because God has his eye on you. God knows exactly where you're at. He created you. He planned you. Before your creation was born, he gave you a purpose and he equipped you for that purpose. God can see something in you right now that is so small that others can't see it. Maybe you yourself cannot see it yet. You're going to go from being a coward to courageous. You're going to be from the one who could never be trusted to the most trustworthy person anyone could hope for. You're going to move from the person who has very little faith to his faith more than you can imagine. You're going to step past the brokenness and the addictions. You're going to step into the future that God is unwrapping before you. God will use you and it will be beautiful. And so the question here this morning, what's the small thing that you need to step into right now? What is the small decision you need to make? What is the small choice? What is the small adjustment? What is the small prayer? What is the small thing that you need to not despise, but celebrate and say, God, this is a victory right now. God is building a future in me right now. Just because no one else can see it, just because no one else thinks I'll ever get there, just because no one else thinks it will ever happen, God sees something in you. God knows. He knows a small thing in you waiting to go big. And so let's take a moment. Let's bow our heads so that we could hear from the Lord. Lord Jesus, I know you're here, and I know you're speaking. I thank you that your eyes are upon us. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that not one person in this room is overlooked. You created them. You have plans, you have intention for their life. And so, Lord, help us to work with you and to realize that you always start small. Lord, so often the first step of following you is the very hardest, Lord, when you call us to that new thing. God, when you call us to carve out that quiet time, God, when you point us towards a ministry, towards serving. God, I pray that we will not overlook the small things that your still small voice has whispered to us. God, help us to listen. Help us to embrace. Help us to obey. And God, I believe that the next year, it's going to be the year of the miraculous, God. As we follow you in the big things, in the small things. Lord, I also believe there are those that you have brought to your house today and they feel distant from you. They have not walked with you, and they, as much as they would like a fresh beginning of 22, they would actually like to end this year strong. And you can do that right now by giving your life to Jesus. Yes, it sounds so small, but if you say, Jesus, I give you my life, that is a beginning that you'll never regret. And so if you've been distant from the Lord, you've walked away from the Lord, you can simply say right now, Jesus, I give you my life. As you do that, he will wash you clean. He will wash away your sins. He will make you a new creation. And all will say, it is beautiful. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for meeting us here. We worship you. We praise you. Please stand with us now. All your promises, my yes and amen. Well, thank you for being in church this morning. More importantly, thank you for being the church. Let's pray, Lord Jesus, go with your people now. God, use them. Let them be light. Let them be salt. Let them be truth wherever they go, sharing the good news Jesus Christ has come. God, and we claim in faith, Lord, next year, the year of the miraculous, that the best is yet to come. We pray these things now in Jesus' name.